I love it. All right. It's been a while since I've preached a message here at church, so I'm thrilled to be here. However, I'm going to do something that we do annually here at this church, and then I do have a message at the end, so it's a jam-packed Sunday here. But we're going to go over the Trailhead Church 2021 annual report. So if you're new here today, you'll say, well, this is a unique Sunday to be here. It is. We're going to tell you all the details, all the numbers. Now, granted, there's some numbers that are grouped together. You don't want to know how much we spent on cleaning supplies here at this church. That's just a lot of numbers. You would be amazed how much money. I will tell you numbers, and at any time, with a good heart that you come and you want to talk to me about finances, I will be all about telling you all the details of things. I have no problem with that. So if the Poole family wanted to know how much we spent on electricity at this church, by golly, I'll tell you. Not a problem. Okay? So that's not an issue. We are a very transparent church, a very open church. I will tell you a fun fact of how much we did spend on electricity per month. Right now, I'll tell you this because everyone wanted to know, especially the rotten, beautiful bankers. They all were so curious how much this was going to cost. That was a number that was really a hard number for some bankers to get over. You guys, I don't know if you could afford the power for this building. And I'm like, well, we're not going to occupy all 82,000 square feet 24/7 like a factory. I'm like, so everyone's estimates were really high. Well, guess what? Our power bill came in. Now, before I tell you the number, I'm that guy. I'm always that guy. My wife hates it when I tell stories. Oh, we just leave you on the cliff. But just know that this isn't your house. Because a lot of people, you start measuring things against your own income and your house, and you go, by gosh, you get overwhelmed. My wife and our electric bill in the summertime is anywhere between $150 to $200 a month. In the wintertime, we have gas. So our monthly bill is like $87 a month, and our gas bill is like $200. Because I have teenagers, and they know buttons, and they just want to push them. So when you look at it in the residential side, it's a little different than in the commercial. So each month, we actually came in right around $2,000 a month on electricity. This was actually a very low number, a very, very low number. So what does that mean? That means that the staff, we froze every day. I still have trembles of how cold it's been in here at times. No, we keep it at a moderate 60 degrees. Just layers upon layers. Poor Jeremy works in the back office with gloves on and a scarf. I'm not kidding on that, actually. Don't worry, we got him the pullback muffin so his fingers are exposed. All right. What's the purpose of our church? Well, John, next slide. Reaching people from the mountains to the sea. So this 2021 annual report is an opportunity to see how God is moving at Trailhead Church. And remember that every number represents a changed life. Next slide. Now, we are coming out of a pandemic in the name of Jesus, all right? So a lot of things fluctuated, and numbers were really weird for us. Measuring what we had seen when we were at 554 Westmore Street to moving into the theater and then moving in here, everything was shot. Basically, making decisions were a little bit more difficult and trying to figure out how do we do this or how do we do that. It was different, okay? So you'll see that we have 37 salvations. Now, salvations are for us, we key it in, we lock it in. For you, definition of salvation could be a little different. Salvation for us is not different from the Word of God. It's someone who declares Jesus Christ as a Lord and personal Savior. They make that public announcement, and they declare it so, and they walk it so, all right? So that's a salvation. Then you see 25 baptisms and 286 prayer responses. Now, we want to see this triple over 2022. I like to see numbers increase. Some people were hesitant in the very beginning of 2021. We had half the amount of seating in this place, half the amount of people in this place. And then there was that notion of, do we invite people? What's it like to invite somebody to church during a pandemic? Am I offending them to come into the church? So it was a really difficult season to navigate through. So I'm thrilled, no matter if it was one salvation, we had 37 salvations and we celebrate that, right? Amen. Next slide, John. So here we see we had 804 first-time visitors this past year and 155 first-time givers. Now, 804, now this is important for you to know. We got a shiny new toy, and that was this warehouse. So we had a lot of people going, I want to see what that warehouse is. My great-grandfather used to work in there. My grandmother used to work in there. And you had a lot of people that would come in, and they would want to see. Now, also, this first-time visitor was a day. We had a bunch of first-time visitors when we'd hit our celebration where we did the ribbon-cutting ceremony out there. So we had a lot of visitors on that day as well. Now, one of the things that you need to know is we as a staff, we get together, and with the help of key leaders in the church, we discuss these numbers and try to say, what can we do better to keep that open door open wider and to help people get onboarded faster so that you make this home, that you say, no, I want to get my questions answered and that you feel like family here. We don't want people to have this cold first-time visit and they go, man, I was really rubbed wrong. That guy that drives that golf cart around, he's crazy. That was my father, by the way. That's my dad. We do need other golf cart drivers. If anyone would like to sign up and participate, please let Pastor Katie know. My dad was absent today. Someone said, where's the golf cart? And I said, well, the driver's in another state right now. Then I was like, oh, we need more golf cart drivers. So sign up, all right? Looking at the 804 first-time visitors, we're thrilled. We are excited about that number. But like I said, we want people to sign up for Pathfinders. We want people to get that next step and to say, I want to be involved. I want to be a part of this, okay? So it's really, really important. Also, I want you to take note, the hand delivery from Rich to Stephen. Look how successful that is, right? Our greeting team, our hospitality team, they are amazing. And if you notice right here in the small corner, Rich's daughter, she's helping serve coffee. It doesn't matter how tall or how short they are. Everyone's involved here at this church. I'm thrilled. All right, next steps, you'll see that we had a total class attendance of 96 people, and then we had 7 classes offered, and then we had 39 Pathfinders. So for you that are new today and you ask, what is my next step? That's Pathfinders. This is our assimilation of sorts, if you want to use the corporate world word here that you may be familiar with, but or if you want to use the church word, membership class. This is a class for you to understand what Trailhead Church is all about so that you can say, I want to be a part of that. I want to know and ask questions that you can do in a very safe place. You're not going to be alienated, and there is no dumb question, okay? But in those moments in that classroom, you can find out all about the church. And then from that point, we want to get you signed up to volunteer. We know when you volunteer at this church, you get connected. You find a group of individuals that you just love, and before you know it, you're bonding. So I love when people attend Pathfinders course because that really helps with the process of people getting to know who they are in Christ Jesus to find their unique design that God's created for them. So that's important. All right, John, next one. Do you see we had a total average of 350 people? You'll see that in church on Sunday. Now, we only offer a Sunday morning service right now. And you see 45 average total attendance online. I'll explain that in just a second. And then you see 94 average kids in attendance. Now, that is a very high number, actually. Across the board in the United States, we have a lot of children. Because like I mentioned earlier, we love making babies. So that is a great number. Okay, we're super thrilled about that. Now, here at the 45 total attendance, that represents 45 screens. Okay, it doesn't represent actual people. So as far as in the house, if you want to go, it could be 2.5 people and a dog. Okay, does that make sense? That's like the national average of things. This is killing Dave, our executive pastor right now. When I say these types of things, he's like, oh gosh, he just mentioned dog. I love you, Dave. And some of you are like, there's no such thing as a half person. No, but when you talk about averages, okay? So you have more than just 45 people. It's 45 screens. Now, one of the church numbers that we usually go off of every year was Easter. So technically speaking, on an Easter Sunday morning, what you saw on Easter should be a good representation, attendance-wise, is a good representation for the following year to be and a higher average of where you're at. So let's say we see 500 people this Easter, and what you're going to see in 2023, an average attendance of 500 people. So when we were in the theater right before the pandemic took place and then moving into this space, we were pushing the 550 to 600 mark. So when we saw that 600 mark on Easter of that year of 2019, then we anticipated that 2020, we would be seeing an average of 600 people. Does everyone understand that? So when moving into the warehouse officially in January of 2021, because in 2020, we were still in the theater, we were doing online services, we were doing everything we could in person, on video, back and forth, and then we moved in this building in January of 2021, we saw the numbers go all sorts of different ways. So that's where our average attendance is 350. So where do we go from here? Well, again, our church isn't about growing big, because what that is just a foolish type of idea of like, let's just grow big. No, we want to grow wisely, and we want to do it in such a way that it's always our goal as a church is to provide atmospheres where you can connect, even no matter how big this is, no matter how the church grows, but we always have different ideas and new ways to create the small side of community inside the big community that we have. So we offer a lot of different opportunities to do that with our small groups programs, with all the events that we do, you name it, it's out there. So if you haven't downloaded our Trailhead app, I would encourage you to do so, because even this Saturday, we have a men's breakfast coming up. It's an opportunity for men to come out, get to know one another, and ask questions to see who they are. When you guys get to know these guys, you're going to fall in love with people like Larry and like Mickey. These men are awesome to be around. And when you, I just put Larry and Mickey on the spot to be here this Saturday. But it's a great opportunity to sharpen one another. So just know that we as a church, we're always going to see growth, because if we're doing what the gospel tells us to do, you're going to see multiplication. So it's going to happen. It's all churches. Nothing's more, well, I don't want to say it like that because that sounds condescending to someone, and I apologize for my attitude right now. But it is a very alarming thing when I hear someone say, I don't like big churches. And then I always kind of look at them and I go, well, that's okay, and I understand how you feel about things, but just know that even in the small church, that if you're doing what the Lord has told you to do according to the Bible, that small church is going to grow as well. It's going to happen no matter what. So just know that it's only a matter of time for that small church, okay? All right, next one. So we see in Switchback, we see an average 25 weekly. Now, I'm not supposed to say it like this, but I love you. Anytime I say that and I glance, that's Dave. Dave and Pastor Philip both were like, listen, we're really good at keeping track of your youth, okay? And trust me, when they come in, we're watching them like a hawk, all right? Mama Kim is on the job, all right? But there are some youth kids that look at that iPad screen to check in and they go, nah, I'm not doing that. And they just skip around and they don't check in because Christian may have had her back turned for a split second talking to another kid. So we know for a fact our average attendance is higher than this. We're more at like the 30. And here recently, since we've opened up the new space, we're seeing numbers of 45 and 50 youth kids showing up. So we're really thrilled about that number. Yeah. Last year, during a pandemic, we sent 40 students to youth camp. And those students, the parents paid a minimal amount of money because of donations from the church. And on top of that, all the fundraisers that we did, which is tremendous, because when you're sending two or three kids from your house to youth, it gets pricey real fast. So we're excited about that number. All right, next one. This is a number that we love. Yes. You see, on an average, we see 350 people on a Sunday. Well, we're over 50% in volunteers of 199, so that's tremendous. We're super thrilled about that. And we, and I love to pride on this, our volunteers are awesome. Like, I love talking with them. I love being around them. They are a true baton holder for the kingdom of God. And they want to see this church grow, and I love it. I'm just so thankful for all of the volunteers. Now, that number represents everyone from the cleaning crew and up. Now, there's some cleaners here that are not here today, but and I wish they were. I got to tell you, Pastor Philip, I think I may have mentioned this story a while back. Some kids were getting out of hand, and so sure enough, he looked at them and goes, "Listen, you guys better straighten up, or I'm going to bring you back here, and you're going to clean this church." Well, Morgan and Miller come weekly. Okay, and they called his bluff. They go, "We clean every week already, Pastor Philip," right? But Morgan and Miller come here every week with their wonderful mom, Marissa, and they clean this church with excellence, and I'm so thankful for them. All right, next, we see the church staff. We see 5 full-time, 1 part-time, and 8 volunteer staff. Pastor Adam has been volunteer staff since 2008. For the first 6 to 9 months, he would travel from West Virginia all the way down here to North Carolina, a 5-hour drive, every single Saturday to be here for church on Sunday. He destroyed his car. It had no value when he was finished with it. And we're so thankful for people like Pastor Adam and Stephen and Pastor Philip, all of these individuals on either part-time or volunteer, and their amount of effort is just tremendous in what they do, and I'm so thankful for them. But the full-time staffers, these guys are dedicated in seeing God's plan fulfilled every single day. They are diligent in going through these numbers and basically trying to figure out how can we do our very best for the kingdom of God with what little we have, and I'm thankful for that. Jeremy McKnight, our creative pastor, he does a tremendous job when it comes to our sound and our video and our lights. He's on a shoestring budget, and it works very well. He is awesome about doing those things, so I'm thrilled. All right, next, outreach. We had 4 schools with Stuff the Bus that we supported, 81 Thanksgiving baskets, 110 fed at high school sports dinners, 30 families at Fellowship Riders Halloween outreach, 32 blood drive units, 20 angel tree children, and then 700, you don't see it at the very bottom here, but 700 donated to victims of a local apartment fire. Now, I'm going to show you a video in just a little bit, and I'll come back to this slide, but after the video. So let's just go to the next one. So the next slide is mission. So we had $17,234 and $230.64. So it went to our mission, which is Christ for All Nations. We saw that Safari Mission, Allied Churches of Alamance County, International Missions Outreach, that's the Haiti Art Church Planning Network, and then Jeff Bardell Ministries. So Jeff Bardell got $17,000, $230 went to the rest, you know. I'm only kidding. So we divvy it up very equally across the board with all these individuals. If you want to know more about each one of these, then by all means, find one of us at the end and we'll describe them in further depth, okay? Now, finances. Here's the one slide that everyone wants to see. You saw a total of 794,000 total tithes and offerings, and you'll see that the net income was 79,000, and the giving per adult, a lot of people don't really know what that means or represents, but obviously it's the average, or it's not the, yes, the average, I'm saying that right, the average with per adult on the average attendance of what's been given, okay? That number has increased quite a bit this year, and I'm super thrilled because we saw a 39% increase in tithes and offerings. There were a few one-time larger gifts that came in, which was really helpful and thankful because we were able to do things like the youth space and finish those out. For some of you that maybe question, like, how much did we spend on the youth space? We spent $35,000 on the youth space, and $21,000 came in for it, okay? So what you'll say to me, well, Josh, couldn't you have saved a little bit more money? Yeah, you're correct. I could have gone in there with Pastor Philip and we could have talked and we could have said, hey, let's just buy IKEA couches. The problem with IKEA couches is exactly what I just said, IKEA couches. So I looked at Pastor Philip and we both said, let's buy a little bit more expensive of a couch. So when you go in the space, you go, ooh, this is nice. Why? Because it's not an IKEA couch. And our youth deserve good quality stuff, all right? So when you walk into that space, it has a really great atmosphere. When you walk in, you go, wow, this is really cool and really nice. If you still haven't seen it, please go up the steps and make a left and check it out. The lights are on. You're going to want to see it at the end of service. So it's really, really good. All right. So next slide. There we go. So you'll see that we out of this is, I want to say it all right, the percentages are the percent of our total expense. You see we spent 40% in operations, 22% in facilities, and 38% in staffing. And the staffing is also all of the extras involved in that when it comes to, I want to say this right again. I always want to say everything correctly. Dave, you texted me something to make sure I said it correctly. Payroll and benefits. That's right. We do a great job at actually giving our staff a real and not just a mediocre type of pay. We want to make sure that our staff has a good pay, that they're not living off the communion at the end when you're not using it. Okay? So our insurance, everything that we offer them is at a very good level. So I want to encourage you guys to see that our church is well-maintained by qualified people. And that's what I'm thrilled about. I'm thrilled with 38%. And for us as a church, we see these numbers and we want to see growth, okay? I want to see what's next. So I have a video to show you what's next. So go ahead, John. Hey, Charlotte Church, I am super thrilled to show you our newest adventure here at Charlotte Church. This is something that's been a long time coming, and this is our outreach space. So yeah, right now it may not look the best, but guess what? We are starting construction soon on this space. All the demo work, all of the electrical, and all the different little things that need to be placed in here. Why? Because it's time for us to reach out into this community and do more than we've ever had before. So what are we gonna do in this space? Well, we obviously are gonna be collecting non-perishable items. Also, when we do our Thanksgiving baskets, when we do little outreaches and big outreaches, it can come right from this space. So when we reach out to Alamance Pregnancy Services, this is our hub. This is the place where we all meet, we do what we need to do, and then reach out into the community. So what are we asking from you? Well, prayer. Obviously, we always start with prayer. This place, this is gonna be a place where lives are gonna be changed. So it starts with prayer. Also, we're gonna be needing some financial support, donations all around. And if you'd like to partner with us with that, well, stay tuned. We'll be giving you all the updates you'll need in order to support this space. So guys, welcome to our new outreach building. So many of you may have seen on your way in today, we have a big dump trash can out here. And so we've had a few people already donate their time and effort. And so Mike Tice's dad, Chip Tice, his crew have been demoing. And so they came in yesterday and spent the whole day demoing, which you didn't realize that we actually had a bomb shelter in that room. not really, but it was a cement thick wall that's like this big and it's crazy. Anyway, they're demoing all of that out for free, and I'm so thankful because it is a lot of work. Ethan and I know what it takes to demo a room like that. There's a handful of us in this room that know what it takes, so I'm so thrilled. I know Pete is also thrilled. There's a lot of us that are thrilled that we're not demoing that room right now. But that space has so much potential. And what I love about it is it's a space that we can continue to grow and develop as we move forward in this year and the years to come. For the past few years, we've been a church that's been a transplant church of in and out of spaces. And it's been hard for us to put our roots in the ground and say, this is where we are and this is what we can do. And so now we're in the maturity of our church where we can say, now we know what we can do. And we're going to begin to bridge our reach to the community and the community here to the church. And I'm thrilled with this potential. Our outreach directors, Justin and Jessica Snyder, they are on another level of excitement with the idea of knowing what they can do now. And it's not just a space or a box, but it's actually a command center, a hub, a base camp of sorts where people can come and get what they need and we can service this community in different ways. So for instance, to go back to the outreach, we were using the school systems for our Thanksgiving baskets. And it's been a great system for us to do this, but we're exploring how we can do even more Thanksgiving baskets. We could have done more than 81 baskets last year, but we didn't because this was only the number the school systems needed. But we're going to be able to do more, and we have such as because it's on the front side of the building here, and the ability to drive in, grab what you need, and drive out will make it really accessible and easy for us to point where to go to at the church and all that good stuff. So we're going to be able to do more than 81 baskets, hopefully this year, because we're going to have a better plan on how to reach the community and not just have to use the school system, okay? We will continue to give into the school system through the guidance counselors and the nurses and all those different individuals, but it's going to be helpful that we can do more than that. So that's just one sliver of an idea of what we're doing, and there'll be more to come as we go. So we're hoping to complete this soon. I'm not allowed to put a date on it, but I want it done soon. I'm not allowed to put a date on it, but soon. I'm not allowed to put a date on it, but like Easter. I didn't put a date on it. None of the staff can get mad at me because I didn't put a date on it. But I want it done soon. Okay. All right. Now it's 11:23, and this is usually when we dismiss. But I've got a message. So stick with me. All right. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want us to be forward focused. As a church, it's apparent and it's necessary that we are forward focused in all of our thinking, knowing that God himself has planned such a day and such a time as this that you are important. That everyone in this room is a vital part for the kingdom of God to continue here on this earth, all right? So you need to grab a hold of this, all right? Straining toward what is ahead, that you're pressing on toward the goal to win the prize. Why? Because there is more. There is so much more. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know what that scripture tells me? That you are the limiter. You are the limiter. Not God. God can do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We're the limiter. We need to take that limiter off, and we need to be dreaming big. We need to see what God wants to do and say, God, let's do it. So I don't want us as a church to ration our passion. I want us to have full passion in everything we put our hands to, everything that we do. Some people tell you to dial it back. You know, come on, you're just too excited about these things. Why? You know why I'm excited? Because I can see kingdom here on this earth. I'm excited about what God's wanting to do. I want to grab hold of it. I'm not going to hold back. What God had placed in my heart and others in this room 14 years ago has all come to pass, every bit of it. And you know what? I'm excited that it's all come to pass, but now that I actually see that it all came to pass, I look back 14 years ago and I go, we didn't dream big enough. We could have dreamed bigger. And I didn't. I just dreamt to that one spot of like, this is rational. This is reasonable, right? I remember even saying it in the room that I'd be like looking around for everyone's like, you know, apparent approval, right? Everybody in agreement? Yeah, right? And I think back and I go, no, I wish I would have just sounded crazy. I wish that it was just bigger dreaming and bigger things. Because why? Because my God will exceedingly abundantly, he will do it. It is a wonderful relationship that I have with God. When you are hooked up with him and you're doing his will and his purpose, he's going to take care of it. He's going to fulfill it. When there's no type of hidden agendas, if there's not this, it's all about me. When it's all about him and it's his agenda, man, limiters are off. And it's time for us as a church to take those limiters off. But now it's important. It's important before you can dream big, you need to settle down and you need to pray. And you need to ask yourself, is there a spiritual attack upon me right now? Is there a spiritual attack that's happening? Because those things can limit you from seeing the big picture. So there's a few things I want you to pay attention to. Here's some signs of spiritual attack. There's 7 of them. Write these down. Feelings of worthlessness. A feeling of worthlessness will hinder you from a big vision. 2, prayer time is suffering. When you find yourself avoiding prayer, when you find yourself saying, well, I'll just do it tomorrow, prayer time is suffering. Another sign of a spiritual attack, 3, is feelings of condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He washes away all of those things. 4, famine of the word. You're neglecting the word of God. You don't want to read it. You look at it and you go, ugh. All right, those are spiritual attacks. 6, overwhelmed by life. Now, I'm not making light of these. These are real things. I'm asking you to take hold of those things and say, no, not today, Satan. They're not going to limit me. All right? So when you have an overwhelmed by life moment, ask yourself, where am I spiritually? Where am I with the word of God? Where am I with my time in relationship with God? 7, and the last one's temptation to go back to the old life. Those temptational moments where you'll hear an old phone call, an old buddy, an old friend, something will call you back. That's where you got to say, nope, not doing that. You put your foot down and you say, no, I'm not going back to those old ways. I'm not going back. As my wife says, that's stinking thinking. So with that stinking thinking comes resentment. We can't allow resentment to rule. Why? Well, resentment is a narrative in your head that needs to be silenced by the word of God. Resentment is offense. Resentment causes you to have anger and bitterness. And when you have anger and bitterness and strife towards others, you're not going to be able to succeed. You're going to have limiters upon the vision that God has for you. You cannot operate in unforgiveness. You cannot do it. This is a spiritual law. You cannot do it. Now, here's the deal. When you begin once again to rejoice in the God who called you, you will begin once again to rejoice in what your God has called you to do. You got to begin to rejoice in him. You need to sit there and go, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. But you know what? I'm going to do it right now. And you just stop for a praise break. You begin to worship him. You become indignified. You say, "No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go to my old ways. I'm not going to allow these spiritual attacks to dictate who I am." Because why? Because I am a child of God, and I know how to act better than this. All right. So, discipline. Discipline is hard, but guess what? It's love and it's logic. That's what parents are all about. When I look at my child, I try to tell them, let me correct you real quickly. That attitude is awful, and it's not going to get you anywhere. And I begin that whole parenting process with love and with logic. It's important that we allow God to prune us. When he prunes us, we're able to grow and mature and provide more fruit. It's important that we do this with love and logic. When you are reading the Word of God, you are allowing God to prune you. You read the Word of God in a way that goes, I need to correct this. I need to fix this. I need to do more of this. I didn't ask for his permission on this, but Pastor Adam, a few weeks ago, we were on a text feed, a handful of us guys, and he sent a text out, and not one of us responded on it. We just let it go by. And then the next conversation took place where we were joking about something. Somebody said something, and it just faded in the background. But I took note of it. Interesting. And I quote Pastor Adam's text. Pastor Adam is, he takes care of Pathfinders and all the different courses here at the church. And this is what he said. I've been neck deep in the topic of tongues for the past 2 weeks. I basically learned I don't pray in the Spirit nearly as much as I should. Period. And I appreciate his honesty, and I appreciate his ability to look upon his own life and reflect and say, I need to course correct some things. I need to fix where my attention is put. Because just like you can build your physical man up, you can build your spiritual man up. When you spend time with God, you're building your spirit man up. No difference. And when you're building your spirit man up in the things of God, you are so much more attentive than you've ever been before. Things you're sensitive to, you go, oh man, that's not pleasing to God. I can't look at that. I don't want to be around that. Those things become more apparent to you. I got to tell you that we see metaphors and symbolism, and we see some things here in the Word of God about water and wells and how Jesus is a living well. Well, guys, if it's in the well, it's going to come up in the bucket, good or bad. Okay? So for you in your own life, you need to determine what's coming up out of that bucket. When someone comes to you, all right, and they ask for water, what are you going to give them? What's in your bucket, all right? Are you going to give them opinions? Are you going to give them how you feel? Are you going to give them the Word of God? You need to ask yourself, what's in the bucket? In James 4, chapter 7, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. It's time to resist him. It's time to say, no more. You're not going to have a hold on my life. You need to stand firm of who you are. Because if you're going to dream big, you got to dream without fear of failure or lack of resources. The devil's going to tell you all the things you don't have. Your focus is going to be all the me's and the we's. Oh, me. And oh, look who I'm around. You're going to start blaming everybody else. Guys, it all comes to a relationship with him. Now, I try to figure out who said this. This is an old saying of sorts, but living within your comfort zone doesn't keep your life safe. It keeps it small. That's all it does. Guys, we got a dream. You need to be seeing the bigger picture of things. God, what are you doing? How can I hook up to this vision? God, what can we do to reach more people than ever imagined before? Well, on top of acknowledging those spiritual attacks, in order to dream big, you also need to know where your source is. You need to know where your strength comes from. Well, we know in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, that the strength is what? The joy of the Lord. So the Lord brings on that strength through joy in knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. When you know that you are a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High, that changes everything. Yes, in the minute moment that something takes place that you didn't expect, or life isn't going as easy as you think it is or should, that does not deter your relationship with him or sets God back on a new level. Or God's got to go back and go, oh, I got to readjust. Oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming. God doesn't operate that way. God goes, oh, and in James chapter 1, guess what? Isn't this great? Tests and trials are coming. That means that you can rejoice. You get to actually see my power, my love for you. the signs, the miracles, and the wonders. Isn't this great? Just ask now. Ask for supernatural favor, and it will come. You cannot set your joy based upon things going your way. You're going to be disappointed, and your happiness is not someone else's responsibility. You choose joy today, period. So what am I saying? The experiences in your life, good or bad, should not be the gauge of your joy. Joy comes from the Lord. So, again, as I read it out loud, James chapter 1, 2, consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. So this is important. So my quick illustrated sermon this morning, let me grab my marker. Let me pray that I can hop this without fail. Yes. All right. Now, this is a very simple, elementary thing to do, so just follow with me. But when I say the word slicky slide, you already thought in your head what a slicky slide is, right? Everybody does. It's real simple. Slicky slide, right? You got a person up here, and they're going to go down here, and hopefully they don't fall and they land on their feet. Everyone knows what a slicky slide is. Hopefully everyone in this room's been on one, okay? Slicky slides are important on a playground. I love when my kids see a slicky slide. They go, oh, slicky slide. And they're going to have all sorts of different ways they're going to get down that slicky slide. They're going to do it backwards. They're going to do it forwards. They're going to do it on their back. They're going to do it on their belly. They're going to try it sideways. All the different ways they're going to try it. It's a slicky slide. But when you think of a slicky slide, you think of all of this right here, but you never actually think about the ladder. No one ever thinks about the ladder. You only think about the slicky slide. And that's fine. But there's a ladder. There's a climbing aspect to this. You got to go up the ladder in order to go down the slicky slide. No one ever thinks about the ladder. But here's the deal. The bigger the slicky slide, the bigger the ladder. And there comes a maturity in this. When my children go to a playground, there's usually two slicky slides there. One for the toddlers and one for the older children. And I have seen my child over and over and over again go over to the toddler and they look at me and they go, Dad! And then they try to do something really stupid on the small slide. You know, and they go like 2 feet and they land on the ground and they're like, I'm just looking at them like, what do I always say to them? Like you would say to your kids, you're too old for that. And watch out, there's a little kid right here. Get out of the way. Come over here. Get on the big slide. Get off that playground, right? Get all over them. Don't do that. Why? Because there's an age-appropriate slide for them. Trailhead Church, there's an age-appropriate slide for you. We are at a stage of a bigger slicky slide. We've got to grow up. We got to realize, oh, God has extended our reach. We need to do things with the resources that God's given us and do it in a better way. All right? We can't just keep going back to the small little slicky slide. We are a growing church. We are reaching people not from Alamance County to Orange County and some of them Guilford people. We're reaching people from the mountains to the sea, right? So if we're going to reach people from the mountains to sea, we're going to have to do some bigger things. It's going to happen. Listen, last week, the hospitality team, now this is not an outreach. This is not an outreach. Please understand when I tell you this, you don't take away, oh, we got to get a big coffee maker. That's not the point. This is just a slight, small little instance that last week we went through 12 coffee pots in order to get you guys some coffee. One, we need to save you from caffeine, all right? But two, we are a growing church. The need becomes bigger for what we're doing, okay? But on top of this slicky slide, you'll see this is wonderful. You're like, oh, I love this. This is what I call the product, okay? This is called the product, and the ladder is called the process. Now, one thing that we know is that you should not fall in love with the process, which would be plans, and you shouldn't fall in love with the product. In order to actually be successful, you've got to fall in love with the purpose. When you fall in love with the purpose, this process doesn't matter. And when this goes awry and you fall on your butt down here at the end, you're going to be willing to go back here to the ladder and keep going over and over again. Because a lot of times you get all consumed with the product and you're like, oh, the product. And then you go down and you go, meh, it was okay. There's going to be better products. Every single day, there's a new product, right? And eventually you kind of get overwhelmed. You're like, yeah, it's the same product. Guys, church. Oh, I'm going to say it. I'm looking at my good friend, Bruce. I'm going to say it. And this makes the church really upset. There is a business form to what we do at times. There is a business to this. This is not a business to become profitable. That's not the point. But there is a side of business to what we do. And we are very cautious on what we do. The very first offering that we ever took here at this church, it was a very small, humbling offering. But I brought all the staff in together. And I said, Dave, I want you to cut a check to everyone for $20. So all the staff came into a room, and I cut a check for $20. Now, immediately, some of them were there. They were like, I don't want that. Like, stop. And everyone, there was people in the room like, what are you giving me $20 for? And I'm like, no, there's a point to this. Because there is a understanding of what we're supposed to do with this money. That this money is important, that we don't just take it for granted, that we deserve it. It's not like that. It's not this notion of like, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're doing it for the money. We don't do this for the money. I actually, in the very beginning, had people ask me all the time. They're like, "You, yeah, pastors make a lot of money." And I was like, do they? Because I've heard your guys' income sometimes. Some of you guys get really open with me in counseling sessions. You're like, I make this much. And I'm like, you make how much doing what? I'm like, oh my gosh. I always go home to Ann and I'm like, we need to do something else. If you think I'm in this for the money, you're wrong. All right? I'm not doing this for the money, and neither is anyone else on the staff. But I do understand there's a slight aspect to the product. Now, and let me help you out with a further evaluation of what I'm talking about. In Nehemiah chapter 8, all the way to chapter 12, I wouldn't include 13 necessarily outside of just Nehemiah didn't like what they were doing and came back in to correct them in 13. But up until chapter 12 of Nehemiah, why do we do the things we do here in church? It's because of Nehemiah chapter 8 all the way to 12. This is why we have worship. This is why we receive a tithe, an offering. This is why we actually have a guy who speaks from the pulpit. This is all in notion of how the people in Nehemiah's days were to operate. And then you'll start seeing some additives once we get into the New Testament. Well, you should do this as well, and you should do that, and you should take care of these people, and you should do these things, and this is what shouldn't take place. And Paul came in to bring some order into some of the things that they were doing wrong. So you see some added things. We're changing some stuff. But it was never, ever about like, well, we should do X, and this is how it should be done always. Like, if we wanted to, we could put worship at the end of service. It's going to be okay if we wanted to do that, okay? We could sing one song for 30 minutes, and it's okay, all right? Some of us get real hung up on a traditional style of something. We go, it should be done this way. Well, there's all sorts of ways to do certain things. And for us as a church, we're believing and we're trusting that we're doing the way that God wants Trailhead Church to do, not how the church down the street is doing. We're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. Trust me, we have gleaned from other churches to say, how are you guys doing this? Because this is new and we would love to actually adapt this in if this is what God wants us to do. And we'll pray about it and we'll seek more advice and wisdom to say, let's implement this. This is worth doing. But we don't just do it because it's the new shiny whistle. But for some people, that might not be what you think is the right product. For some of you may say, I don't know why they need a prayer room. That prayer room is really weird. That's one of our pieces. One of our pieces to fulfill the purpose. And we're going to continue to always create a process and a plan to create a product in order to fulfill the purpose. And as we do that, I'm not asking you to be a bunch of yes men and women. That's not the case at all. But I ask that you grab a hold of the gifting that God's placed in your heart and in who you are as a Christian, and grab a hold of the greater big picture of the purpose here, and to say, all right, where do I fit in? Some of you guys, you're a prayer warrior. You need to be in the prayer room. Some of you guys are ushers and greeters because you're the most friendliest individual on the planet. I love that. I love it. Kelly told me this morning, she goes, you know, I really like your dad. Your dad makes my morning. On a golf cart, he's nice. She just deemed him as Papa Trailhead. And I was like, that was really sweet of you, Kelly. But guys, that's one of those moments where you just hold on to it and you go, man, people are not acknowledging your gift. People know where you're at. You need to operate in that gift to its fullest because you're making a difference for the kingdom of God. This may not be what one product in one area is not what you should be a part of. It's just something different. Guys, I have people that are all sorts of different individuals. I mean, you come to me with all crazy, wonderful ideas. Some good, some not so good, and that's okay. All right, it happens. You know how many ideas get shut down from this guy in a week? I had a great idea for men's restroom this morning for Valentine's, but I got outvoted. I was trying to put Valentine cards in all of the men in the men's restroom, so when you walked in, it'd say on the mirrors, hey, men, if you forgot, take one on us. All you men are like, genius idea, right? Genius. But I got outvoted by all the girls. I'm not allowed to go in your restroom. I'm curious what's in your restroom this morning. Clearly. Guys, we're going to do things very unique to this church, very unique to this area. I mean, my goodness, we own 2 Volkswagen buses. That's weird. All right? God told me a long time ago, you're going to own Volkswagen buses. And that's a weird thing. I realize that. That's really strange. But when you talk to Rich and Sarah Parker, they're going to tell you they came because of the Volkswagen buses. And I would have 30 more to get 30 more Rich and Sarah Parkers because they are phenomenal. But that's where it's a little different. Again, you need to be prepared. There are people who can see the process and only people that can see the product. I hate the process. I'm not a big fan of it. Dave loves the process. If you guys know anything about all of this, I always pin Dave and I as if we're like arch nemesis. It's always like good versus evil. If you guys know anything about Disney, this right here is Roy, and this right here is Walt. On the day of Orlando, the grand opening of Disney World, Walt had already passed away, and a reporter walked up to Roy and said, isn't it a shame that Walt's not here to see it? And Roy looked at him and said, actually, the reason why you're seeing it is because Walt saw it first. And it was in that moment that you realize there is a gifting for each person, okay? The person that can see the product, the person that can enjoy the product, the person who sees the full purpose of it all, and then the person who can create the product with the plans in the process. Don't ever sit here and be mean to any one of these individuals. And if you don't like the product, it's okay. Right? It's okay. I've had too many people tell me, I don't really know if I like the worship style at Trailhead Church. I had a young man actually look at me one time, a young man. He was like 10. And he looked at his mom, and his mom goes right beside each other. And the mom looked at me and says, I love this church. And he goes, I don't. And I looked at him and I said, well, why not? He goes, because you don't sound like Charles Stanley. And I thought, Charles Stanley? I thought maybe Andy Stanley at one, at best. But I was like, Charles Stanley? Like, that's your go-to kid? You're 10. Charles is reaching all sorts of generations. I was shocked. Hey, there are different strokes for different folks, and it's okay. But if Trailhead Church isn't it, then we would encourage you, go to that church and get sown in and be a part of it. Be a part of the vision and grab hold of it and run with it. Don't sit here and deter the bigger vision just because you want to be a big turd. Oh, man, I know, right? I said it. It rhymed. It just felt like the next best word to say. Deter. My wife's going to tell me in the car, Josh, you just went too far on that one. I know, but it just worked really well. As long as you're saved, that's all I care about. Are you saved? Then go to a different church and be a part of that church. Like, sow into that church and be a vital, important piece. But don't sit here with your arms crossed and go, I don't like this. This is this. I don't like the worship, or I don't like that, or I don't like the way he jokes on the stage. I hate to tell you guys this, but I'm going to joke like this forever. I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. And same with Stephen in the worship. I mean, it's going to be that way. And it's just, this is how it is. It's not like we're being stubborn. We just know this is what God's called us to do. And this is what we're supposed to do. If we change this, then I would be very scared of the life of this church. Now, my last thing, and I'll finish, is I asked myself, this was hard. I cried in front of my staff a week ago, this past Monday. And I hope I don't cry right now in front of you guys, because everyone thinks all I do is cry all the time. But if a month or so ago, I asked myself, am I still the pastor of this church? I asked myself that because it was important. Important for my own self and then you. Because I went through a process of 14 years here where we built the church. The vision was done. And so what we said in 2008 in a small home in West Virginia in the month of like February or March, we said, we're going to start a church this year. And this is what it's going to look like. And everything was fulfilled this past year. And so I asked myself, God, is there a new vision for me to actually lead behind? Is there still a reason for me to be here? I'll step down right now. God, you tell me. And I didn't get that release. My wife and I, we talked about these things, and we both know this is it. This is still our future. This is where we're supposed to be. But just know that I am willing, as your pastor, to always ask that question of God, if you've got something bigger for this church, I will step out of the way. It's not about me. It's not about a man. It's never about us. It's always about him and all that we do. So my encouragement is for you guys to continue to pray for this church. We've got big vision. We got some big things we want to talk about. And as the coming months go, I'm going to start unfolding these things for you. We want to finish the office space behind us. Why? Because we want to start launching campuses into small rural communities here in North Carolina. If there's a Dollar General there, there's a Trailhead Church there. But I need to get my staff out of a closet and get them in an office so they can do a better job in an office facility where they can actually spread around and be warm and not wear gloves and a hat and a toboggan. And some of you are like, oh man, Josh, you're really painting a bleak picture of what our staff's doing. I'm telling you the God's honest truth, by the way. Like, have you came in on the front building and you see the little air conditioner sticking out the brick window? That's an office for three of my staff, one of those rooms. And so we need to get an office built for them, and so that we can actually use this as the command center to continue to grow out and reach people from the mountains to the sea. So when those things are accomplished, we're going to start launching. And be ready, because we're going to call upon you and your giftings and your talents to make it happen, okay? So the vision doesn't just stop with this warehouse. The vision is continuing. God quickened me to share with me there is more to come. There is a lot more to come.